Today is February 17th. I just want to welcome everybody. And before we begin, I want to thank a few people because I must. Rabbi Goldberg, Rabbi Moskowitz, Matthew, the staff in the office has been fabulous. But most of all, our amazing teacher. The learning has been at an incredible level, and I'm glad you all enjoy it. And I just want to put a little bug in everybody's ear that we always need sponsorship. So if you think you might want to do this for next year, please let me know. It would be wonderful. And in the meantime, our learning is generously sponsored anonymously in the trust of Rachel Delia Bat Elisheva Chaya Zavora. So let's keep her in mind. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, and thank you, Penny, who organizes, coordinates everything every year. Okay, it's our last class in the book of Ezra. We have three chapters left, and we have to complete them all within an hour, because we are going to complete the book of Ezra today, no matter what. Even if we're here until Arab Shabbos, an hour before Shabbos, we are completing Ezra. Ezra, Perek, Zion, chapter 7 in the book of Ezra. If those of you, whoever has the English page number, just announce it.
1827.
Timeline, we are in year 458 BCE. Last class, we went a little bit on a tangent because we discussed what's going on in Persia, the story of the Megillah, and now we're going back to the to what's happening in Israel. 458, there's already a Beit Mikdash. The first Aliyah took place 100 years before this story. First Aliyah was year 539. We met the leaders of that Aliyah, which we also, I always repeat these names, Zerubbabel, Yeshua ben Yosadak, which I'll mention. Again, we know them from the Song of Maoz Zur. Ketz Bavel, Zerubbabel. The end of the exile of Bavel was with the leader Zerubbabel, Leket Shivim, no Shati. After 70 years of exile, I have returned home. So that's the story of Zerubbabel, is in that stanza of the Maoz Zur. Perek Zion, Pasuk Aleph. We met last class. The dynasty of Ezra. Ezra is a direct descendant of Aaron, HaKohen. And Ezra is also, there's a mention here of Moshe, which we saw is trying to connect between the job of Ezra to the job of Moshe. He's going to make a great reform in Jewish education amongst Am Yisrael. One of the things that Ezra is going to do, the Hebrew letters that we have today, this is not the Hebrew letters which the Torah was given in. This is a new, this is a modern font, modern to the time of Ezra. This font that we have here. Until then, they had the ancient Hebrew letters. Ancient Hebrew letters that if you go to Ir David and you see these coins that they have on display, you can buy in the jewelry shop these necklaces with ancient Hebrew letters. The ancient Hebrew letters with the that the Samaritan community in Israel has their scrolls written until today. Those are the letters, that's the font that they had until the time period of Ezra. The Gemara attributes the font that we have today, the Hebrew letters, which is called Ktav Ashuri. It's called Ktav Ashuri, is a font that's attributed to Ezra. And there are several explanations as to why Ezra introduces this new font. One explanation we'll give now, the other one we'll give at the end of the class. One explanation is to make it easier. It is much more legible. It is more simple. It is a clearer font than the ancient Hebrew font. And he brings education to the people. He wants the Torah to be accessible to everyone. He introduces the concept which exists until today in Yemenite shuls, that you read the Torah, and after reading the Torah, at each aliyah, you translate. You translate to it because not everyone understood Hebrew. So in Korea, they would read the Torah and they would translate it so that the people would understand. We're going to see that translation soon. He wants the Torah to be understood. Ezra is also the one who establishes the Great Assembly. Anshei Knesset Hagdolah.
Until then, we have Sanhedrin of 70 members. Here, Ezra establishes a very large assembly of 120 members. You are going to need many teachers all over the place. And as a matter of fact, Rabbi Yoel Binun, who I referred to last class, he counts one throughout the books of Ezra and Nehemiah. He reaches a list of 120 names. And he argues these are the 120 names that are found in Ezra and Nehemiah, were the members of the first assembly. Of course, we cannot not mention that our Knesset today has 120 members based on that first assembly of Ezra, Anshei Knesset Hagdolah. Even the name Knesset is taken from the time period of Ezra, Knesset Hagdolah. Okay, so that was a short introduction. Let's go back to the story of Ezra. We're still in Bavel. Ezra's getting together the second Aliyah. The nature of the second Aliyah is religious nature. If the first Aliyah is there to build the Beit HaMikdash, the second Aliyah is there to make a religious transformation. This is an educational group. They're coming to teach. Okay, so we're in chapter 7, verse 9. We read it. Ki be'echad v'chodesh harishon hu yisud ha'ma'ala mi'bavel uve'echad v'chodesh ha'chamishi ba el Yerushalayim ki yad Elohav ha'tova alav ki Ezra hechin levavo lidrosh et Torat Adonai v'lasot u'lelamed b'Yisrael chok u'mishpat. That's the sentence that we ended off with last class. This is his mission statement. L'lamed b'Yisrael chok u'mishpat. That's the purpose of Aliyat Ezra. And one of the reasons, whenever we talk about Ezra, when we talk about Shivat Zion, people don't usually know that different phases. They always refer to it based on the Gemara. Shivat Zion is Ezra. There's some people that don't even know of a guy by the name Zerubbabel. The famous person that we know of is Ezra. They don't realize that they've been Jews before, 100 years before, because in Chazal's eyes, the main Aliyah is the educational one. That's why in Chazal, there's not even a book called Nehemiah. There's only a book. When they count 24 books, they refer to Ezra. When they quote a verse from the book of Nehemiah, they reference it to Ezra. There is no book of Nehemiah in Chazal's eyes. Because the main character, and the text appears there, but the text is the continuation of the book of Ezra. The text. So, but the main person that made a difference is Aliyat Ezra. Okay. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vizet parshegen hanishtevan asher natan hamelech artachshasa beezra hakohen sofer divrei mitzvot Adonai v'chukav al Yisrael. And here is the license that Artachshasa has given Ezra. When he goes to Eretz Yisrael as a leader, he'll need license. What is included in this license? What is his authority? What are the rights that he's going to be given? Is he going to be allowed to rule in Israel according to Jewish law? He's going to set up a legal system. He talks about mishpat. There's going to be a legal system. Are they going to be allowed to rule according to that legal system? We know in early Zionism, the Turks allowed the Jews to have their own, to judge according to their own Jewish law. Also in Europe, the community was allowed to rule according to Jewish law. What's going to happen here in Israel? Is Ezra going to be allowed to enforce Jewish law? To punish according to Jewish law? To rule according, right? If someone steals from someone, do we follow the Persian law? Do we follow the Jewish law? So let's see this letter. So I'm going to read very quickly this letter because it's all in Aramaic. Well, I'll read it in Aramaic and I'll translate it into English. Those of you who have the English, follow the English. We might have a few discrepancies the way I translated and the way your English translation, but the idea is basically there. Artashasta Melech Malchai, Artashasta King of Kings, gives Ezra the Kohen, Sofer Hadati Elahashmaya, the scribe of God's rule, of God of Hayashamayim, Gmir Vichent, etc., etc. I am commanding anybody who so desires to go up to Eretz Yisrael with you, may go up to Eretz Yisrael. Me and my seven advisors, these seven advisors, we know that
common in the Persian Empire, that the Persian king has set the seven advisors. We met them yesterday in Esther. We grant you this license to rule according to the law of your God. And you could bring with you, take with you when you go back, gold and silver that has been donated by the king and the king's advisors. They are all sending these donations to the Beit Mikdash in Yerushalayim. And take along any donations which are given by your own people with you to Eretz Yisrael. And what should you do with this money? With this money you should quickly purchase animals for sacrifice in the Beit HaMikdash. Torim, Dichrin, Rim, the Menachot, the Mincha offering, the Nesachim, the wine and the oil, you should all bring to the Mizbeach in Yerushalayim. And whatever you want to do with the change, it's up to you. That's what it says. You can do whatever you want with the rest of the money. Take the vessels along with you. And I'm skipping a little bit because we have to continue. It says, and he gives a limit up to how much silver and money should go there. Verse 23, what's the purpose of all this? The reason it's important for the king that all this money goes to the king, so that the God could protect the king. We want the God of Israel to protect the king and the king's sons. And to we are informing that all of the Kohanim, the Levim, and those who sing in the Beit HaMikdash, and the gatekeepers, anybody that has a job, is exempt from paying taxes. Dina below the halach la shalit lemir malehem. Okay, there's a Hebrew word. For those of you who are Israeli, you might appreciate this. When you go in the airport, there's mas blo. What's mas blo? It's taxes on luxury items, like tobacco. And that's taken from this verse, the mas blo. Below with taxes. Taxes, they're going to be, anybody who works in Beit HaMikdash is exempt from taxes. That's very important for the continuation of the story as to how come the enemies are those who wanted so much to be involved. One of the reasons why they want to be involved in building Beit HaMikdash, because there was also financial benefits. Whoever's involved in Beit HaMikdash, it's not only political, but it's also their financial benefits. The aunt Ezra, and as far as you, Ezra, continues the king, you, Ezra, have the right to appoint judges who will rule according to the law of your God. Teach the judges, and those judges who don't know, teach them, make sure they know. Anybody who does not follow the king's rule and does not accept you, you may quickly judge him, whether it is by death, whether by confiscating his assets, or whether by imprisoning him. It's a wonderful, wonderful letter. The Jews are concerned with what the nations think of them. And this is a very inspiring, encouraging letter that the non-Jewish king gives them such far-reaching permit license here that he can go and teach Jewish law in Eretz Yisrael, turn Eretz Yisrael into the center of the Jewish future is in Eretz Yisrael. It's an unbelievable letter. And the next verse is Ezra's response to this letter. Baruch Adonai Elohei Avoteinu, Asher Natan Kazot Belev HaMelech. Remember, we always said the Torah is the Tanakh is the religious theological interpretation of historical events. And it's clear to Ezra that if this idol worshiper pagan Artaxerxes gives them such a far-reaching permission. It is nothing but the extended blessing of God. And therefore, he's not thanking Artaxasa. His thing is, Baruch Hashem Elokei Avoteinu, who put these ideas into the head of Artaxasa. And that I have found favor in the eyes. It's clear to the eyes of the author of Sefer Ezra, Ezra HaSofer, that this is clearly Rachmei Shamayim. If this king is so kind to Am Yisrael, and this strengthens him. V'ani hitchazakti ki ad Hashem elokai alai v'kabatzam Yisrael brashim la'alot imi. In verse 8, we have a whole list of people that are coming up. I'm skipping to chapter 8, verse 15. They make a meeting place in Babel. Everyone is to come to this meeting place. It's dangerous to travel on your own. So they're going to all travel together as a group. And they make a meeting place. The name of the meeting place that they're going to meet is by a river in Babel called Nahar Ahava. Ahava with Avav, not with a vet. So it's not love. It's probably expressed Nahar Ahava. V'ekbetzel el hanar haba el ahava v'nachanesham yamim shlosha. We're camping there in this place for 3 days, waiting for people to gather so that they can all go together. V'adina ba'am. As they're gathering, Ezra says he's walking around to see who's coming, which families came together. V'adina ba'am u'v'kohanim u'mibnei levi lo matzati sham. He sees people from this tribe, he sees Judahites, he sees Benjamites, he sees Kohanim. There are no Levim. Umivnei Levi lo matzati sham. Now, for what he's doing, it's most crucial that he has Levim. The Levim were the teachers. And the teachers aren't there. So what the whole purpose is to teach. What's he going to do? What's this aliyah for with no teachers? Why did the Levim not show up? Now there's an answer to Chazal, which we're not going to get into right now, but an answer in Pshat HaKtuvim. The Levim are supported by the people. They don't have jobs, they don't have, they're supposed to be supported by the miser of the people, by the tents that the people set aside for the Levim. It is a time of, there's starvation in Israel, which we're going to meet. It's very difficult conditions. So we're going to leave our jobs here. Who's going to support us there? And they don't want to leave. And we see this is going to be a problem because later on, Nehemiah, that's one of the things that Nehemiah is going to insist on, that the Levim get their portions. So the Levim feel like they won't have a job there. That's one explanation. Another possibility, and this is based on a nevoa of Yechezkel, that the Levim are going to be demoted for for the way they've treated Beit HaMikdash. So maybe they feel that they've been sort of kicked out, fired, and for whatever reason is, there's no Levim. Ezra is sending a committee of people to try to convince the Levim to come. Let's read. Vayeshlacha, verse 16. Vayeshlacha le'eliezer le'aviel le'shmaya ve'el natan le'yaribu al natan. And so he sends out this group of people. V'otziyah otam al ido harosh v'chas p'ya ha'makom v'asima b'hem dvarim l'daber el ido achiv. He puts words into the mouth of the committee. What should you say? What is he going to tell them? He's going to tell them it's a very big mitzvah. He's going to say, don't worry, I guarantee. I'm going to make sure that you're going to get your salaries. This is a responsibility that only you can do. We don't know what he says, but he puts the words into his mouth, what to say in order to convince them, and they manage to convince several families to join. Verse 21, Va'ikra sham tzom al hanar ahava, lehit anot lifnei Eloheinu, lebakesh mimeno derech yeshara, lanu uletapenu ulechol bechusheinu. It says before we leave, before they left the Babel, they call a fast day. The purpose of this fast day is to pray that God. Traveling was always dangerous. It was always dangerous to travel, and it was more than. And he says, I called a fast day. It was a day of tefillah and tshuva that God should protect us. Why was it important? Because Kiboshti lishol min hamelech, verse 22, chayilu farashim leodrenu neoyev badarech. So David was embarrassed to ask for the king to send with us protection of an escort. Why? Because I just told the king how awesome our God is. I just told the king that God is going to protect us. So now I'm going to ask him just so that we can have a little bit of an understanding. What is the difference between Ezra and Nehemiah? In two pages later, Nehemiah is going to go up to Israel. And when Nehemiah goes, look in chapter 2. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 7. V'omar l'melech, ima l'melech tov, igroti tnuli al pachvot ever hanahar, asher ya'aviruni ad asher avo yuda. Nehemiah, he's not embarrassed. They're very, very different characters. He's much more timid, Ezra. Ezra is not as good as a politician, we'll say, as Nehemiah is. Ezra is, he's in the base medrash. So Ezra Nehemiah is the politician. Nehemiah is a politician. That's one of the reasons, by the way, that Chazal made so much of an emphasis of Ezra, because they were much more interested in the rabbinic figure than in the political figure. We're going to see that the political figure is also important. That's one of the things that we learned from the Nebuah of Zechariah, that just to have the spirituality is not enough. Just to have the oil, we said the two oil branches bringing light into the menorah. That was the vision of Zechariah. Just to have the chief rabbi is not enough. Just to have a political figure is not enough. You really need both. You need a political figure and a religious figure. They have to work together. You need Malchei Beit David together with the Kehuna. And that's, so Nehemiah is a crucial figure in this whole story. Ezra would not have been successful without the figure of Nehemiah in the background, and clearly Nehemiah would not have been successful without Ezra in the background. So Nehemiah, he asks for the escort that he needs, but Ezra is a different type of character. Ezra says, I'm embarrassed, he really, really, really davens. What is he davening for? What is he davening for? That God should protect him on the way. And we'll see, and those of you who studied me Tehillim, we opened up here when we studied this, we'll see this is the source of the very first Tfilat HaDerech. Tfilat HaDerech, the very first source of Tfilat HaDerech is studied here. In general, many of our Tfilot are taken from the books of Ezra and Nehemiah. Ezra and Nehemiah have several Tfilot. Some of the longest prayers are found in the book of Nehemiah. They are changing, they're really changing the rules of connection with God around. Up until now, God revealed himself to man through prophecy. Ezra and Nehemiah, there's no more prophecy. That's it. If there's no more prophecy, how do we communicate? It is through prayer. That's why we have many more tefillot in the book of Ezra and Nehemiah. We don't have God's revelation. We cannot communicate through nevuah. We communicate through us calling out to God. And we'll see as we go along. Many, many, many tefillot are inspired. And if God reveals himself through nevuah, Hashra'at Shechina is the tefillah b'tzibur. The community davening becomes a place where God reveals himself. That's how it's to be interpreted in Ezra. Okay. Chapter 8, verse 23. Vanasuma, we fasted and we asked that God should protect us, and indeed God protected us. And then, verse 24, Vavdila Misareya Kohanim, Shneimasar, Lishrabia Chashavia. I separated 12 members. The number 12 is important. They want to try as much, even though there's only a tribe and a half maybe left in Ma'am Yisrael. They want as much as possible to give a sense. This is the nation. 12 represents all 12 tribes. We want Ezra, number 12 is going to repeat itself quite a few times. Certain experiences which represent all of Am Yisrael are going to repeat it. It's a way of showing what we have now. This is Am Yisrael. This is Am Yisrael. This is where it's no longer here and there. Am Yisrael that's returning, this is where the Jewish center is. We want to make it very, very clear that the center is here. And he gives them the silver, he gives the Kohanim, all and the Levim, the silver and the gold, which is supposed to make the association in our minds of Yitzhak Mitzrayim, where The three families, Gershon, Kehat, and Merari, are in charge of carrying the vessel to Beit HaMikdash. Here too we want to have the Kohanim and Levim in charge of carrying the silver and the gold donations. Now clearly the silver and the gold donations are not the vessels that they were carrying in the desert, but it's a certain sense that we're going back to what it used to be. Okay, I'm skipping to verse 29. Shikdu v'shimru ad tishkalu l'fnei sarei ha'kohanim v'levim v'sarei ha'avot Yisrael v'Yerushalayim. You're in charge of guarding this. Bring it to Yerushalayim. Verse 31. After 3 days, and after the fast, and after they have the Levim, they're finally leaving the meeting place in Babel. Vanisa minar ahava. On what date? The 12th of Nisan. This is clearly not a coincidence. They want to travel as close as possible to the date of leaving Egypt. If they left Egypt on the 14th of Nisan, they're going to leave on the 12th of Nisan. They can't leave on the 14th of Nisan because it's a chag. But they want to leave as close as possible to that day. L'chodesh HaRishon, L'lechet Yerushalayim, V'yad Eloheinu Haita Aleinu, V'yasileinu, Mikaf Oyev V'orev Al Hadarech. Where do you know that verse from? That's Tfilat HaDerech. This is the first Tfilat HaDerech. God has protected us. Banavo Yerushalayim, we come to Yerushalayim. We sit there for 3 days. And they bring the silver to the Beit HaMikdash. And they sacrifice the sacrifices. They bring the hand of license over to the leaders to show what Ezra's license is. And there's great excitement. After a few days, let's see what happens. Chapter 9, new story. Uchechalos Eilech. Uchechalos Eilech. They've come. They've had the celebration. They moved into their homes. Most people are not living in Yerushalayim, by the way. Yerushalayim is still in ruins. They're living in the outskirts of Yerushalayim. And after this, Nigshu Elai Hasarim. The ministers, the leaders of the community of Yehuda, approach Ezra and tell Ezra of a certain problem that has been taking place over the past 50, 60 years. Remember what we say, there's no leadership for 50, 60 years. What's been going on in Yerushalayim? Nivshu elai hasarim leimor. Lo nivdelu ha'am Yisrael ve'hakohanim ve'halevi'im me'amei ha'aratzot. Kito avotehem. L'kna'ani, ha'chiti, ha'priti, ha'yevusi, ha'amoni, ha'moavi, ha'mitri, ha'amovi. They have not separated from the nations. And it gives a whole list of 10 nations here. Kinas umi b'noteihem lahem v'livneihem v'hit'arvu zera ha'kodesh v'amei ha'aratzot. They have been mingling together, intermarrying. The Yad Hasarim Dasganim Haita Bamal Hazebabishana. And the main offenders are the ministers. There are many, many, many questions. This verse alone is worth of almost the whole course to understand what's going on here. But let's make a few observations. First of all, which nation does it say that they did not separate from when you read the Pasuk? Knani, Amoria, Vesprizi, Yibusi, Girgash. None of these nations exist in the time of Ezra. Not a single one of these nations exists. Maybe Mitzrayim exists in the other name. But all these seven nations, those are nations that from the time of the judges don't exist anymore. We kicked them out. So what are we bringing a whole list of these nations that don't even exist? That's question number one. Question number two, who's complaining here to Ezra? The Sarim, the ministers. And who's committing the offense? The ministers. So it's the ministers complaining about the ministers, and they just don't do it, they don't complain. Question number three. Look at the verses very carefully. What is their concern? Is their concern the daughters marrying non-Jewish men or the men marrying non-Jewish women? So which one? Is it the non-Jewish? That the men are marrying non-Jewish women. Why are they not? Yes, the men. That's what they're concerned. That the men are marrying non-Jewish. Natsulai hem uli mehem. What? Why are they not concerned at all about non-Jewish men marrying our Jewish women? It seems like
So you're saying, oh, they're going to be Jewish and the women are going to be, the children are going to, so it's a Jewish thing. Okay, so I'll tell you no. It is not, no, so it's not. And let's try to make state about what's going on here. It seems, we'll start with the first question as far as these seven nations that don't even exist. This is one of the earliest midrashei halacha. What is a midrash halacha? A midrash halacha is deriving from the text that's written in the Torah a new halacha for the new situation. So even though these nations don't exist anymore, it takes the same theory of those nations. Why does it say that we shouldn't marry those seven nations? What's the reason for not marrying the seven nations? Lest we adapt their culture. So they don't exist, but it's saying the same theory we're going to apply to here. It says, lest we adapt their ways. That's as far as the nation. As far as what's happening with the Sarim, are they the offenders here, or the or they're against it? It seems clear that there is a disagreement amongst the leadership as far as intermarrying. There is a group of leaders within the Sarim that ideologically believe that the right way to help Am Yisrael during Shiva Atzion, which is a very difficult time, is by marrying the local. These are ideological marriages. This is like almost like a marriage of Shlomo. What Shlomo HaMelech? Why is he marrying all these foreign women? They're clearly political marriage. It's a political marriage in order to strengthen his rule. Achav, he doesn't just fall in love with Izebel, Bat Melech Sidoni. He marries her in order to protect the northern border. That's saying Shlomo. He marries Bat Paro to protect the southern border. He marries the northern women to protect the borders. These are political marriages. In Sefer Ezra, phase one, the first Shivat Zion, we have many challenges, which last almost 100 years, between the Jewish community and those who surround them, who are constantly attacking them. There's a limited source of resources here. That's extremely difficult. The Sarim tries to promote the idea, in order to help the Jewish community last in its land, we must try to become one with the local community. This is really an ideological, these are ideological narratives. Let's join the local community. I want to give a much, like, just try to demonstrate it, and things are going on in our time period. Well, we'll see it's an argument between the state of Israel 30 years ago decided to bring hundreds of thousands of Jews and non-Jews from Russia. Now this created now a huge problem in Israel as far as who's Jewish and who's not. Now why were they bringing them? Because we had a demographic problem. The Arabs' numbers were growing, were increasingly growing, much faster than the Jewish population. And this was an artificial way of raising the numbers of the Jewish population by bringing hundreds of thousands of Jews, which, and non-Jews. Many of them were not Jewish. And of course, it's been argued until today. Was this a right thing to do, or this is a right? And it created major problems. And when you hear about what's going on with the conversion law in Israel, it's all about this issue. Some of them are Jewish, some of them are not Jewish at all. But one thing you can't argue, they just did it for their own interest. The leaders felt that this was what was right for Am Yisrael. This is what's going to strengthen Am Yisrael. The motivation was a right motivation. The action, you can argue with that. Right? Kabbalah, the Yehuda HaLevi says, Kavanotecha v'tzuyim, aval ein ma'asecha v'tzuyim. You have the right kavanot, not the right act. And that's what's happening here. The leaders of the community feel to help strengthen the Jews, to avoid the constant attack between us and the enemy, in order to protect the Jewish community, we must join life. And we can say the same thing as far as the left and the right. The ideology is what is best for Israel. Now, why are we not concerned about Jewish women marrying non-Jewish men? Because this is not what's concerning Ezra and the Sabim, those who are against what's happening here, is not intermarriage. They're not worried about intermarriage. It's not an intermarriage. That's not what we're worried today. That's our problem today. Yes. Right? We're worried that there's not going to be Jews left in Norway, there's not going to be Jews left in Scotland, whatever it is. The issue that's disturbing him is not intermarriage. The issue that's disturbing Ezra and the Sabim is the Jewish community in Medina. And I want to explain. If Sarah Bayless goes off and marries or whoever, then we lost her. The Seder, we lost her. But if some Samaritan girl marries Yisrael, where does that Samaritan girl move to? She moves into Medinat Yehud. She moves into the Jewish community. If we are trying to create a strong Jewish community with a strong Jewish identity, this is a Jewish community that can barely read an alphabet. They're so ignorant. We're going to read, and we read this a couple years ago, a Jewish community that don't know basic mitzvot. So how do you teach a basic mitzvot when they're coming with their Christmas tree and these women are coming with all their other, what's concerning Ezra is not losing numbers. That's not what he's concerned about. That's our problem today. But that's not what Ezra's concerned about. What Ezra's concerned about is how is the Jewish community going to look inside of Christ creating a Jewish community? And therefore, Ezra's not concerned about the Jewish women that are going out. The Jewish women that are going out, chaval. But that's all he cares about. He is concerned about the non-Jewish women that are coming in. And this is an issue that we see already from the very beginning from Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu, his son, where is he going to go? To bring an outsider. Yitzchak? No, sorry. Avram for his son goes. Yitzchak sends Yaakov. Now, who is Yaakov's son married? Who are they married? They're all married local. They're all man channels. All of them, everyone of them, except in Rafi, whatever. But they're all married channels. Why? Why did Yaakov come? Because it's supposedly showed up. This is a man channel. So it's about Yehuda. But Yaakov, they're married channels. Clearly, they're not sent away. Why? Because when Avram wants a wife for Yitzchak, how big is Avram's family? It's a small family. If he marries a local girl, someone from one of the local villages nearby, who's going to have the impact on Yitzchak's family? The big, what we call them, the chamula, the big group of Canaanites. That's where they're going to go for the summer vacation. That's where they're going to go to have whatever celebration they're going to have. At the local where is the local family? They're the ones that have the impact on children. Yitzchak, Santiago. Yitzchak does not have a very big family either. So what is Yitzchak going to do? He's going to make sure that Yaakov does not take a daughter of one of the locals. And Esau, who does marry, it really causes lots of aggravation to get Yitzchak into respect. And he sends him out, bring an outsider. If you bring an outsider, then we will have the impact on her. She will not impact us. Yaakov's children, by the time Yaakov's children are ready to get married, Yaakov is a huge family. He comes with a huge camp. He has a large family. He is a camp. He is a chamula. He's not concerned. It's okay for them to marry because now they're the ones. They put a mark on the. They are the ones who are going to affect the culture. In the time of Ezra, and Israel, who are coming back, are a minority amongst the other nations. If we marry into the local population, they will influence us much more than we will influence them. If one of them, what is it? Kabbalah on the, come on, Kabbalah on the roof. She married out the Seder. That's not the concern. That's not the main concern. If we bring in non-Jewish women, then that's going to influence our Jewish community. And this is really a machloket as to what is best for our child. There are those the study who say, okay, but it's worth to pay the price, because otherwise we're going to struggle in community and we won't survive. And as they're going to say, there'll be no Jewish community if we continue. And this is a journey. Yes,
but you have went out into the Holy of Pictures because they were afraid of the
Okay, that's a different story. And that's criticized, and they're criticized for that.
Okay. So let's read. That was the introduction to what's going on here. Let's go chapter 9, verse 2. Kinasu mibnotehem lahem v'livnehem v'hitarvu zera hakodesh b'amei ha'aratot v'yad hasarim v'asganim haita b'mal hazeh b'mishona. What is the word ma'al? What does the word ma'al mean?
Shekel.
No shekel. How do you translate, by the way, in your English?
The ruler, right?
No. Rhetoric. Now, in Tanakh, ni'ilah is used in a very specific context. It is taking something of the Kodesh and using it for your own purposes. And that's the word ni'ilah. It is taking something that belongs to the Beit HaMikdash, something that was sanctified to God, and exactly. And that's why it's the right word to use here as far as ni'ilah. You are, these children should have been Jewish, this has been the Jewish part of the Jewish people, and you are taking them and making them not, you're misusing it. That's ni'ilah. V'yad ha'sarim, u'cheshomi et ha'davar hazeh, as he hears this, what does he do? Karati et bigdi, umi'ili, v'em retza mitza'a roshi, uzkani, v'eshva nishomem. What does he do? He mourns, he tears out his hair, he's sitting and crying. I just want you to see one other difference between Nehemiah and Ezra. Nehemiah is going to have a problem also with non-Jewish families. Open up quickly to chapter 13 in Nehemiah. Chapter 13, verse 23. Gam bayamim ahem ra'iti et ha'yehudim hoshivu nashim ashdodiyot amoniyot moabiyot ובניהם חסים מדבר אשדודית ואינם מכירים לדבר יהודית וכרשונם בעם. So he's talking about the same problem. They're marrying, the children don't know how to speak Hebrew. ועריב עמם, he argues with these families, he curses them, and אנשים, ועמרתם. So if Ezra sits there tearing his own clothes out, what does Nehemiah do? Nehemiah is a politician, and he's very, very good at it. Okay, let's go back to Ezra. So he sits, he cries, he prays to God. I'll read quickly this prayer, Va'omra, and he said, Elohai. Some of these prayers you will be familiar with from the tefillot of Yom Kippur, from the Vidui, they're taken from him. Elokai, I am ashamed, I am embarrassed. Boshi v'nechlamti la'arim Elokai panai elecha, ki abonotenu ravu lemala rosh. This is God, we've sinned so much. And our guilt is ad l'shamayim. Mi'emei avotenu anachnu be'ashma gedola ad hayom hazeh. We've been guilty, we've sinned from the time we came to the land until today. And it was with God's mercifulness that you did not destroy us. And now you brought us back to Eretz Yisrael. How could we face you continuing to sin? Pasuk Yud Aleph 14. Hanashuva after mitzvotecha u'tchaten da'amei ha'toivot ha'elo. If we continue to do this, he will completely destroy us. Adonai Elokei Yisrael, tzadik ata ki nish'anu, pleitak ha'yom hazeh. We have the remnants. We are she'evit ha'pleita. We are the ones who are supposed to build the Jewish community. And it is very wrong what we have done. Hinenu lefanecha bashmateinu ki ein la'amod lefanecha alta. We can't even face you. As he's crying there and praying, Uchit Palel, chapter 10, verse 1. Uchit vadator bochel mitznapel lifnei beit Elohim. People are coming, are joining. People are, the chief rabbi that just came back from Babel is sitting crying. It's quite a scene. And people are starting to come and see and look and think, what's going on here? Kahal rab me'od anashim v'nashim v'yoladim ki bachu hadeh beche. And then a guy, seemingly insignificant character, by the name of Shechemya ben Yechiel, Mibnei Elam. Elam is a city in Babel. So the Shechemya ben Yechiel, remember the name, approaches Ezra and tells Ezra, Vayomel Ezra, Anachnu ma'alnu be'Elohim. It is wrong what we have done. Vanoshev nashim nachliyot. And we have these non-Jewish wives here, Me'amei Haaret. However, v'ata yesh mikveh l'Yisrael azot. It's not a done deed. Things can be corrected. V'ata nichrot brit l'Eloheinu l'otzi kol nashim v'hanolad mehem v'atat Adonai v'acharedim b'mitvat Eloheinu v'chatora ya'aseh. Now we can correct it. Let's get rid of our non-Jewish wife. Now, here's where everybody gets to live. It gets very complicated. People get very upset at Ezra, who throws out the non-Jewish wife. It seems that we're talking about, not kind of going around every sentence, I thought every non-Jewish wife get rid of, but Jewish wives who are not willing to accept the Torah itself, convert on some level. On some level, convert. And I can prove that he's, shortly, he's not saying just get rid of your wives and you have to throw them out without, but it seems like he's, we'll prove in just a moment, that he's telling them the idea of Shechemya ben Yechiel is those women who refuse to identify with the Jewish community cannot become part of the Jewish community. I'll also tell you that it didn't really work. Like, he tried, but the people are stronger than the leader here in Lutzi. And he succeeded somewhat. Pasuk Gimel, chapter 10, verse 3. V'ata nichrot brit Eloheinu l'otzi kol nashim v'hanolad mehem v'atat Adonai v'acharedim b'mitzvat Eloheinu v'chatora ya'aseh kum ki alecha hadavar v'anachnu imach. We are going to support you. Chazak ve'aseh. I said towards the end of the class, I'll give another explanation as to why he changes the font. One of the explanations for changing the font, the first one we gave was to make it easier. Another explanation is why Ezra changes the font, to have a secret language. You have a new font that those who are outside of Israel will not understand. So therefore he creates, it's an exclusive Torah that only Israel will be able to read. That's one of the explanations as far as many of the takanot of Ezra. Hopefully we'll get to some of the takanot of Ezra. Today, one of the takanot is in order to create them. Okay. Pasuk Hei. Vayakom Ezra gets up. Vayishabat Tarei HaKohanim. He says they accept upon themselves, they take a vow that they are going to take care of this problem. He breaks his fast. And they announce, Pasuk Zayin, Vayaviru Kol B'Yudah V'Yushalayim B'Chol B'nei HaGolah. There is a emergency meeting. Everyone needs to come to Yerushalayim. Everyone who does not come in 3 days, his assets will be confiscated. Ezra can do that because he has the license from the king. By the way, there's a halakhic term which we don't have too much time to get into. There's a halakhic term called Hefker Beitin Hefker. That a Beitin has the right to confiscate an individual's assets. That right is learned from this verse. We use this when we do a pruz bull before Shemitah, by the Krump, and so on. Okay. Vayikbetsu. They all gather, and we're in the month of Kislev. And does anybody know what the month of Kislev, what's the weather like in Yerushalayim? It's cold and rainy. Vayishvu kol ha'am b'ruchov beit Elohim. They all sit out there, they're sitting outside, shaking, mar'idim al hadavar, shaking for the, because of what's happening. And it's also raining. And it's very beautiful. So it's raining outside, but they're all standing outside in the rain there, shaking. And Ezra says, tells the people, you have betrayed God by bringing these nashim and nechviyot, we're starting to become a non-Jewish community. And now, tnu todah l'Adonai Elohei Avotechem. Tnu todah, todah here does not mean thanks, it means vidui. And separate yourself. And the people say, we will do as you said. Ken kidvarecha leinu lasot. Aval ha'am rav, ve'ha'et kshamim, ve'im kolach la'amod b'chutz, ve'amelacha lo v'yom echad, ve'lo v'shnaim, ki abinu v'shad v'adrava. So it's a great undertaking. We can't just do it one day. This is something that we need. It's going to take time. And this is what this is. The king here proved that we're not just talking about just getting rid of anybody who is not Jewish. They're going to investigate, and therefore they're going to. The people suggest to set up judicial systems in every city. And the courts will invite those who have married non-Jewish wives. Well, now, if it was just to get divorced, what do you need to come to court for? Because the purpose of the court is probably to see if they are identifying with the Jewish people or not. So we'll point these to court. The Takanat Ezra that's developed from here is that the court convenes on Mondays and Thursdays. There's one Takanat that's in every city. Courts should convene on Mondays and Thursdays. Added with that, he added another Takanat that the Torah should be read on Mondays and Thursdays. Why did he say on Mondays and Thursdays Torah should be read? Once people come to court, they'll get in and clear the Torah. And it was important for him to read the Torah as much as possible because people are not familiar with the Torah. They don't know the Torah. And that's why he wanted to be read on Sheni Chamishi and on Mincha of Shabbos. These are all part of the Takanot of Ezra in trying to create a Jewish nation. And then there's it takes a long time. They sit from the first of, I'm reading the middle of verse 16. They begin on the first of Tevet, and they complete by Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So they sit for 3 full months trying to do this in all the various cities. This means a lot of judges. And those of you who are familiar with Pirkei Avot, Pirkei Avot starts with the dynasty, and one of the, and then goes on to, what do we have? On Sheikh Ezra, and on Sheikh Ezra Gilad. What do they say? They say 3 things. Hegu Nishunim Badim says, when you judge, judge her with patience. These are the judges. Hamidu Talmidim Harbet. Make sure to have many teachers. This is Ezra. Ezra is appointing new patients. Asus Yagla Torah is make sure to make halakot to protect the Torah. These are for the community that have no Torah. These are halakot that really reflect the time. I want to add one more thing. Shimon Hasad is Mishirei Knesset Hagla. Shimon Hasad is the descendant of one of the last remnants of Knesset Hagla. He also says 3 things. What does he say? Ashlosha Barim Haolam Omed. Al HaTorah, Avodah Bal Giyus Chassadim. And I think we can say Al HaTorah. That is definitely the character of Ezra. Al HaAvodah. Avodah probably means worship. That's Zerubbabel, who creates Menorah. Gvilut Chassadim, the social leader beyond any doubt, is going to be Nehemiah. So Shoshad Brain Halvam Omed is really the 3 foundations of Aliyah Shibat Yom Torah, Avodah, Gvilut Chassadim. And then it's going to have a list of all the people that separated and a list of people that didn't separate. This was a very partial success. People found it difficult separating from the non-Jewish families. Some did, some didn't. I want to focus on one family here. Look at verse chapter 10, verse 26. Now, before we get that, verse 17, they complete by what date do they complete separating from their wives? The first of Nisan. That's very relevant because who cannot participate in Korban Pesach? Anybody who's not Jewish. So it's very important that by Rosh Chodesh Nisan, we know who is considered part of Am Yisrael and who is not. So they tried to complete. They worked very hard in order to complete by that date. Now back to that. There was one verse. I want to just look at one name, and we'll see a nice little story in this one name. Verse 26 is the it was the people that that did not separate from their wives. Or we don't know if they separated or didn't separate in this list, but it's a list of people that were married to non-Jewish wives. Let's look at verse 26. Uibnei Elam, Matanya Zechayav Yichiel Ba'adi Ve'yermot. So Elam has a son named Yechiel. You see in verse 26? Elam has a son named Yechiel, and Yechiel is one of the people that married non-Jewish wives. Now why is that very interesting? Who is the one that approached Ezra and said, we can fix this? No, not Elam's father. Shenya, the son of Ziel. Let's go through this again. The baby's name is Elam. His son is named Ziel. Yechiel. Yechiel married a non-Jewish woman. Yechiel's son, Shenya, is the one that comes to Ezra and complains against his father's marriage. Not complain. He's the one that comes up with the idea of how to fix it. And what does he tell him? Get rid of the wife. Why? Why would, is it his mother? Why would Shania be the one? Shania is the one that comes up with this great idea and they implement Shania's idea. Here we're going to open up to Sefer Malachi. Malachi, we said, according to Chazal, is Ezra HaSofer. In any case, whether it's Ezra or not Ezra, the Nevoah of Haggai correlates very nicely to this time period. He's the last of Nevi'im. It's the last book. You found Sefer Malachi, if someone can please just announce the page number. Yeah. Chapter 2, Perek Bet. Verse 11.
Bagda Yehuda. Does everybody have it? Bagda Yehuda had betrayed God. Bagda Yehuda, an abomination has done on Israel with Yerushalayim. Ki chilel Yehuda Kodesh Adonai Asher Ahev Ubaal Bat El Nechar. Am Yisrael had betrayed God by taking these non-Jewish wives. Yachret, and he Malachi curses those. Yachret Adonai la'ish asher yachrena erv onen Elohei Yaakov u'madish yichal Adonai tzvakot. We could learn that this about this story of the non-Jewish wives in this time period was done by the Kohanim. Remember we saw the Kohanim of the Kohanim. The Kohanim are the politicians also. And they felt that, you know, why should we live as poor people? We can have wealthy father-in-laws. Let's marry them. And so that's why I said, those people will not have Megishay Mincha. So their children will die young and they will not have Megishay Mincha. But that's not Malachi, that's not his main issue. The Zot Sheini Ta'asu. Kasot Vim'a Et Mizbat Adonai. Malachi offers a different perspective. Malachi says the problem wasn't... So we said the problem is not assimilation. That's not the problem. The problem is a specific issue for this time period, and that is the impact on the Jewish community. That was number one. That's Ezra focusing on that. Malachi focusing on a different ministry aspect. The husband came that came to Eretz Yisrael. Their wives have gone through all the trials and tribulations of traveling and all the difficulties of hundreds of kilometers from Babel to Eretz Yisrael. They come to Eretz Yisrael, and what do the husbands do? They divorce them and they marry the local people who are well established and who it's a more comfortable life. And that's what Ezra's told. The women who look much better because they didn't have to travel through hundreds of kilometers in the desert, the women who are very well established here, the women who have the jobs and relatives and the zot she'itasu kasot dim'a et mizbat Adonai. Because when the women that come to pray to God, the women who have been divorced because their husbands married the young, local, non-Jewish women, they come and they cry in his death. Because you all, you husbands are in charge of those fears. Kasot dim'ah et mizbach Adonai. Bechi v'anakam ne'enos no. You know what he says? The mizbach is so full of tears, there's no room for your korbanot even. And you say, why? You don't even understand why. Ki Adonai he'id beincha uvein eshet ne'urecha. Because he's teacher, eshet ne'urim. She's the one who's gone through all the difficulties. He's the one that went through all the troubles. And you betray her? V'hi, beautiful verse in Hebrew. V'hi chavertecha ve'eshet britecha. He's the one you recommend. So what do the people say? Below is Agatha? Who says, did Avram Avinu not take the second wife? Below is Agatha. Did Avram Avinu not marry something? Yes, Avraham Avinu took a second wife, but he did it because he wanted to have a continuation of Am Yisrael. He didn't do this because just to get rid of his wife and have non-Jewish, non-Jewish family. V'nishmatem beruchachem uve'eshet me'urecha al yigo. Kisaneh shalach amar Adonai Elohei Yisrael. God despises those who have divorced and kicked out their wives. That is a different perspective. And now we have the completion of the story. Shemya's mother, her name was, Rochelet. Rochelet went from Babel to Ben-Parat, traveled to Eretz Yisrael. They came to Eretz Yisrael, and Shemya's father, Chiel, married some non-Jewish woman and kicked out Rochelet. Shemya comes to Ezra and says, Yesh mikveh l'Yisrael al-Zod. He fights for his mother's honor. He says, how do we get rid of it? He should bring back my mother back into the home. Yesh mikveh l'Yisrael al-Zod.
Let's go back to Sefer Ezra. Yes. Yes. No, that's a nice idea. Anyway, so that's as far as the story of Ezra. Ezra, as I said, his tekiah has many beautiful tekanos. Some of them were accepted, some of them not. From the time period of Ezra, we have the beginning of a set tefillah of how to daven, a set tefillah. Nehemiah does not appear in Sefer Ezra, but we will find Ezra in Sefer Nehemiah. And I want to just end our course on Ezra in this final sentence. I hope we saw Ra'ui Hayah, that Ezra was worthy to give Torah to Am Yisrael. Only reason he didn't was because Moshe came first. Had Moshe not come first, he would have given. But what Moshe does to Am Yisrael as far as transforming him into the nation and giving him Torah is exactly what Ezra does in his time period. Ezra is the one that's responsible to Torah Shabbat Peh, to have to keep getting the people, having the people have the knowledge in the hands of the people. And Ezra is also the one that begins a revolution where the Torah is not in the Beit HaMikdash, it is in the Rechov. It is not exclusive for the Kohanim, it goes to the hands of the people. But that's more to be discussed in Sefer Nehemiah. Shabbat Shalom, Chazak Shalom, Shabbat.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good to see you. Thank you.
Be in touch. Thanks. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
He doesn't have this one.
And
he is.